I'm going to give kind of a summary of what I said this morning and add a little bit to it, then turn over for Timothy. Talking this morning on the assurance of salvation. We can't do anything about our salvation. We can do a lot about the assurance of our salvation. And the first thing I did, for those of you who weren't here, I showed how much God wants us to know that we are saved. I used several scriptures, but one of them I used over in Hebrews chapter 6. And God said he wanted so much to know his children, he would never leave his children, that he gave them a promise and then confirmed it by an oath. And that's amazing because all God did give us a promise. And I quoted that scripture from Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. His promises are sure and steadfast. But he wanted us to know so much, have the assurance of our salvation, he confirmed it by an oath. And you can find that promise in Genesis 12 and the oath in Genesis 22. It's a glorious thing. God wants us to know that we're saved. And so then I gave seven reasons, which I'm going to give just sentences on these. And you can get these notes later if you want to, because I have scriptures. There's several reasons I gave, seven reasons why the assurance of our salvation is important. So I'm just going to read those in a sentence fashion and hope you can assimilate this and maybe study this later. One reason we can better praise God. If I know I'm saved, I can praise God a whole lot better. Number two, I can be a better witness. That kind of goes in with the first one. If I'm praising God, I'm going to be a good witness. So I can be a better witness if I have the assurance of my salvation. Now, unless the devil knows all I'm fixing to tell you, he'll do everything he can to rob us of our assurance, because then we won't be able to do the things that we ought to be doing, like praising God and witnessing. We can also be strong to resist temptation. And the scripture I gave on that, I will give again, is Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So we can also resist temptation better. We can also withstand persecution better. Because who's going to die a martyr's death if they don't know they're saved? But an individual can go through a lot if he has the assurance of his salvation. So we can also help others better. And I gave that one over in Psalm 51 when David was blessed to repent. He said, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. So even after a man has fallen into sin, if he repents and has the assurance of his salvation, he can help others better. And then I gave another reason we won't fear death. If I got the assurance of my salvation, I won't fear death. And finally, if all the others weren't even given, this one is all we need. God commanded us to do it. He commanded us to do it. And that's over in 2 Peter chapter 1, where for the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, election sure. If you do these things, you should never fall. So he wants us to do that. Now, let me just spend a little bit of time. This is all good for you to do homework. I want to say this first of all. I didn't do this morning. One reason we ought to want to have the assurance for our salvation is because others, it's going to be an encouragement to other people. Like over, let me give you a verse on that. I preach a lot of funerals. And this may sound crazy, but I really enjoy funerals if I know the person's saved. I don't know anybody's state, so I never have preached anybody either heaven or hell, because I can't do that. And even people who don't have much evidence, I sure have a hope for them. I might be like that preacher. He said, we hope he's going where we expect he's not. And I don't like those kind of funerals. But most of the ones I've preached have been people I knew where they were going. And it's a joy to preach that. And Paul, you know, our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. The scriptures on that is Revelation 13:8 and 17:8. Both those scriptures tell our names were written in the Book of Life before the world began. We've never seen that book. And Paul hadn't seen that book. But he still knew some people's names in that book. And we can too. I know most of your names. I hope all of your names in that book. I had no hesitation to say some of them are in there, for sure. And so Paul had the same, and that because we all live that way. Because when I live that way, it encourages me, it also encourages others. But old Paul said this over in the Philippian letter, over in chapter 4, in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, of my fellow laborers, get this, whose names are in the book of life. Paul had never seen that book. He knew by the evidence of their life, he knew their names were there. In fact, we sing the song sometimes, He's Gone, the Spotless Soul is Gone. Remember that one? And one line says, the life he lived below is proof that he's at rest, we know, because of the life he lived. And so it's a joy when we can live in such a way. We don't. Everybody knows where Sister Poe's right. There's no question about it. I know what happened to Sister Poe. The instant life left her body, we're back to be with God. Her name's the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm just as sure of that as I am that God reigns in glory. Because her life proved that. So one reason we ought to have the assurance of our salvation, live that way, is that others that we leave behind might be blessed. Now, I'm going to close with this. Just a few more minutes. I'm going to read some places. But I want to give you some homework to do. You'll get a lot out of this sermon if you do your homework. I got to bring on Ricky a little bit back there, Ricky Holmes. I don't know what he's doing it, and I know what he wants to do. Now I know where you do. Ricky, don't say yay or nay right now. But Ricky, he says, Brother Zach, I got to get some notebooks. He said, when I go home, I'm going to write down the scriptures you used and look over them again, study them. And I think that's wonderful. Some of you may not have that kind of time. We all got more time probably than we think we have if we allocate it rightly. But he got a lot of time on his hands, and he wants to use it right. And I think that's wonderful that what he wants to do is take things like this and go back over them, get a lot out of that. So let me give you some homework, and we'll do some of it here to get started. But this morning I said there's some places we can go to help the assurance of our salvation. And one of them is the Beatitudes. Let's just read them. You do this on your own. Sometimes you have time. And you can have a lot of joy in meditating on this because these are the citizens of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, the citizens of the kingdom. And so let's look at them. You know them, but let's think about them a little bit. And sometimes you have time to think about them a lot. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. He was set. His disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm glad this is their first, aren't you? What do you mean to be poor in spirit? I'm not lifted up and I'm not proud. I have nothing to offer God. Like the song you sang tonight, that beautiful song, Top Lady wrote, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. He was poor in spirit. So if you're poor in spirit, I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer God. I need a Savior. We're in good shape. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, what did he mean by mourning there? Not by loss of a loved one. Even unregenerate people do that. We're mourning because of our sins. And we need to mourn because of our sins. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't do as much as we should, no doubt. Over in the book of James, let me take a time just for a minute to look over there in chapter 4. In James 4, and let's look at a verse here about that mourning. We don't want to do this all the time, but there are times we need to do this. In the superficial age we live in, there's not much of this going on, I'm afraid, and we get so busy. But he just said this in James. I mentioned to you before, if I ever want to repent, I'd like to go to James 4, and I'd like to get verse 7 and read down some. It's concentrated. So I'll read that down to where I want to go. James chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 6, okay? I said 7, I'll start in 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted. Now here's where we're going to. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Now, we don't do that all the time. There are times we need to do that, mourn because of our sins. So back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. And I want to preach a whole sermon on that someday, but I mentioned this to you the other day. Robert Green really had it summed up at that tool shower. Really, the essence of meekness is being selfless. Selfless. I know you men that were there remember him saying that. Just you're not thinking about yourself. I heard Robbie Zacharias on the way to pick up Ricky, and it just right on, right spot on. He said a man talked about was married. His wife had a couple of pies cooked upstairs, and she wanted him to bring them downstairs. And he dropped them, and they fell. And his first thought was, she should have had those things covered better. Then he got to thinking, that's what's wrong with me. I always blame my wife. He got me on that one. He dropped the cotton picking pies, but he blamed his wife again. So anyway, that's not being meek. That's thinking about himself instead of thinking about others. And by the way, he said this about marriage. Let's say, he said, in marriage, we should not get married to see what we can get out of it, the pleasure out of marriage. We all want to get married to be a servant to our partner. And he's right about that. But see, in our Western world, we want to get married. I want to be happy and fulfilled. That's what all the people say we ought to do. And we will be fulfilled. But that's not why we ought to get married. I want to get married to serve my wife, to serve my husband. I thought that was excellent. See, that's meek. So if you're really meek, hallelujah. They shall inherit the earth, and we will someday, the new heavens and the new earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You want to be better? I do. I'm a sorry so-and-so, and I wish I were better. And someday I will be, but I sure want to be better. And so that's good trait that shows I'm a child of God, so I can have the assurance of my salvation if I'm that kind of shape. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And we know, in one sense, we don't have pure hearts because we have an unregenerate side, but we all have a regenerate side, and that's a pure heart right there. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Just the opposite of one who sows seeds of discord. I'm thankful Grace Chapel right now is in peace. Hope we stay that way. We talk about that a lot. We ought to talk about that a lot. And our families also. We ought to be peacemakers. Hey, kids, let me tell you kids something. Y'all who've got some brothers and sisters, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Let's just say old JJ sees two of his sisters get into it. He ought to be a peacemaker. Pick on old JJ. And that's the truth, though. We ought to be peacemakers. See a couple of brethren in the church get into it. We'll do what we can to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Then, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's the kingdom of heaven. So that's one place to go to get the assurance of our salvation. And then the other one I gave today, I'm going to give you one more and I'll be through. Because I hope you can do homework. You can get a good sermon, but you're still not going to get much out of it if you don't do something with this. Let's look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and get those. And then one more place and I'm going to be through, Timothy. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, we got faith. That's a gift that God gives us in regeneration. So I'm going to skip down. We get faith by God's amazing grace, his sovereign grace. Then come down to verse 5. And so this is, do word studies on this. That's my suggestion. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Add to your faith virtue. The virtue, knowledge. Knowledge of spiritual things, no doubt, he's talking about. And we got to be in the Bible to do that, haven't we? To knowledge, temperance. That word means self-control. To temperance, patience. That's endurance. The last, we're lasting. To patience, godliness. That's respecting God. Respecting God. To godliness, brotherly kindness. That's to mainly for brothers in the church and sisters in the church. But then to brotherly kindness, charity. That's just the unconditional love that we even have for our enemies. And to show you why I read this, because it's a assurance of salvation text. For these things being you and abound, they make you, you should neither be barren nor unfruitful, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And then there's one in Galatians that's just like that. One in Galatians, just like it. So let's read that. And I hope you'll do some studying on this. Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. Talk about the works of the flesh, but then he contrasts the works of the Spirit. So in the fifth chapter here, and these be good word studies. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us, there is no law, just unlimited. So that also, we cultivate those fruits of the Spirit, then we'll have more church for our salvation. And then the final one I gave you, and I won't do it for you, but I'll just tell you again, 1 John is the book of assurance. That's what it's written for. 1 John, those five chapters, there are three tests of a child of God in 1 John. It's the warp and woof of the book, woven throughout it. You won't see it systematically anywhere, but it's everywhere in the book. If you just study it, you'll see that. And here's what they are. Three tests in 1 John. One of them is a test of obedience. If we love the Lord, we're going to try to obey God. And then the other test is the test of love, and it's a twofold love. It's a love of God and a love of his people. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's one example. So love, and then there's finally the test of believing in Jesus Christ. If I'm a child of God, hear Christ preach, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ. So those are the things we can cultivate. So you think about that. May God use this. I hope he will in your life. And you'll do a little work in 1 John, in Galatians chapter 5, in 2 Peter chapter 1 there, and those Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and pray about it, and may our precious Lord give you the church of your salvation stronger than you've ever had it before. Be my prayer.